And be going on with the parable of the sower and the seed. It's kind of fun at the beginning of the week as I was putting this together. Normally have 3 pages of notes when I come up. I thought, so I've got 7. But that doesn't mean it'll be long or anything. Anyway, I'm not sure that we'll get completely through it is the problem. But we're going to read the whole parable this morning, Luke chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 15. We looked at the middle part last week. We're going to look at the beginning and the end this week. Starting in verse 5, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell in the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed on the good soil, these are the ones who have heard at the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for showing us through a parable, through a veiled truth that is now open to us. Father, showing us the truth of salvation, the truth that the word is open to the world. The word is given to the world. Father God, that salvation is for anyone, but Lord, their heart must be receptive. Their heart must be desiring truth. Because Father, there's so many distractions that Satan uses to distract from that truth. Help us, Lord, to recognize the fact that you work in spite of the way so many people reject, or in spite of the way so many people do not have a heart attuned to your word, you still work. Thank you for preparing hearts, Father, for working on that soil of a heart. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth that goes into that, the seed that is planted and the fruit that comes from it. We love you. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. What we've learned in Luke, the only Gentile writer of a gospel, is that Jesus Christ was 100% man. He's building that as he goes through. We've learned it from the prophecies of the births all the way up through the ministries of John and of Jesus. And now Jesus is fully into his ministry. John has been put in prison. John questioned whether Jesus was the Messiah or not. And that was fine. That was okay. Jesus told about John in the process. But John went to Jesus, and Jesus pointed him to the Word of God to satisfy that doubt, to take care of that doubt. So we've come now to chapter 8. And last week we looked at this parable of the sower and the seed. And we looked at it in the middle part, the fact of the importance of the heart. Because the disciples, the ones whose heart was ripe for Boy, it's not coming out at all. The ones who had a heart ripe for the gospel, for the truth, were questioning. They were questioning Jesus, and the questioning is in the imperfect tense. They were over and over and over. What does this mean? What is this? Why? How does this fit? How does this work? We want to know. We desire to know. Whereas there were many people there who weren't questioning God in that. They weren't questioning Jesus. They simply wanted to see the miracles. They wanted to be a part of this great big movement, whatever it was. They had expectations of Jesus that were not being met. And they didn't understand that at the time. But the disciples were questioning. And what he was showing was that there were hard hearts. That it wasn't Jesus, it was hardening a hard heart. The heart was already in that condition. So he goes on and he gives this illustration. He points out how this parable talked about those hearts, the different types of hearts that the seed goes to. So we're going to look at those types of heart. First heart we're going to look at, there's four of them. There's four types. The first one we're going to look at is the hard or the closed heart. The closed heart. If you look in verse 5 and verse 12, starting in verse 5, the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And if you go down in verse 11 first, it says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So we need to recognize that the seed is God's word. The sower is God in various forms. In other words, God, as he uses you, as he uses me, as he uses any method he desires to use to share or to spread that seed, that word of God. All right? Now verse 12. Those beside the road are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. So the first heart we're looking at is a closed heart. The seed is the word logos, the word that is used in John for Jesus. And the beginning was the logos, the word, and the word logos became man. And the beginning was the word, and the word became, and the word was God. There you go. The word was God. And then down in 14, the word became flesh, that same word, logos. So we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, which this, God's word, as we understand God's word, contains the good news of Jesus Christ. So God is using Christ, is using the word of Christ, the news of Christ. Excuse me. God is using the good news of Jesus Christ here to sow a seed. Or in other words, that's what he's using for the seed. So the seed is the gospel, the truth, the word of God. And as that seed goes forth, it meets different types of soil. And that's what his point is here. The sower is God. The road, look at the road. In verse 5, it says, the sower went out to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road. And it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. So some fell beside the road. The road here was the path between the fields. You had a path going between there. It was what they used to walk on all the time to get from one field to the next, to separate it, to be able to work in the field. You had to have that path. And that's what was walked on and trampled on, and it was a steady, firm, solid path. And when the seed came, it says here, when the seed came, the seed was trampled on it. It never did get into the soil. The birds came and ate it. So there's the picture. That's what the onlookers heard. So in their mind, they'd be saying, well, I don't know what that means, but yeah, that happened to me. Right over. In fact, where they were on the sea, he was sitting in a boat on the sea, and the people were on the beach. They could, where they were, they could have seen that even going on. If that was the time of year, they could have seen that going on. And Jesus used practical examples very effectively, practical parables very effectively. So he might have even pointed over there and said, see that sower? See the way he's sowing the field. Right? So they could have seen all of these things happening right there. It was possible, but they would have been very familiar with it. But that's what they heard. Many of them would not have understood it. Many of them, not being those who desired to understand, didn't really care. They wanted to follow him because he was going to revolt against Rome. They wanted to follow him because he was healing people. They wanted to follow him later on because he was feeding people. All of this stuff benefited their personal self. It benefited them personally, so therefore they were interested. But they didn't have a heart that was receptive to that truth. So, the disciples, those who were following him, wanted to know. They were asking. So in verse 12, he explains it. What we looked at last week in verse 10, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries. That word know is to grow in knowledge in the mysteries of the kingdom of God, which is what this is. So he says in verse 12, those beside the road are those who have heard. Now I want you to see that, because in every case, it's those who have heard. Those who have heard. And in each case, it's an aorist tense, so they have heard the truth. And it's a participle. So they have heard this truth with ongoing consequences, with ongoing circumstances, or even ongoing truth. They can hear it, they can see it, but they have different hearts to it. Look what it says. Those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. They have heard, and the devil comes and takes away that seed. Back in verse 5, it talks about the fact that it was trampled. That path was trampled. And then the seed fell on it and the birds came and to take it away, which was a picture of what Satan does. But I want you to notice that that road was trampled. That road was hard. It was hard. How does the road get hard? By people walking on it, by people getting, if you put gravel down, or that lime gravel down, and then you drive on it over and over and over and over, it gets very hard. Well, that path was very hard. And it's amazing. No weeds grow, no nothing grows in that path because it's so hard and people are walking on it. How does a heart become that hard? If you think about this. We were talking about a little bit in Sunday school. But Satan uses every aspect he can in the world. The word trampled means put down. Put down. And it carries the connotation of explained away, something that's explained away, or scientifically, disproved. So, in other words, it's a heart who is for most of their life, seeing Jesus Christ as being some outer dimensional nothing that I need to worry about out here, because I have science that proves we've been around for millions of years, billions, the earth is billions, and it became from a big bang, and I have all of these other things, you know, that are more prevalent or more important than that religious stuff. So it's a heart that doesn't carry any value to truth. It carries no value to truth. It's a heart that has been trampled by misinformation, trampled by the lies of Satan. And guess where those lies came from? The father of lies. And the father of lies has told so many generations, you're not important. You're just, God doesn't care about you. If God cared about you, he would have made you rich. If God cared about you, he would have made you important. If God cared about you, he would have made your life perfect. He would have given you no problems. If God cared about you, you would be sitting very pretty in a nice, wonderful situation. If God cared. So, in other words, trample the truth of God, trample. Well, look, God couldn't have created anything in 6 days. That's impossible. So therefore, all of these explanations, and by the way, evolution is not the only explanation of our origin. it's not the only theory of creation or of how we came about. There have been hundreds and hundreds of theories because man has always wanted to explain away God. Satan has always wanted to trample down the heart and say, there is no God. There's no way that God actually loves you. And so there are very hardened hearts. So when the seed, when the truth of God, when that good news of Jesus Christ falls on that heart, there's no way it can get in because the heart is already hard. Satan has seen to that. And then Satan has no problem, just like the bird coming, taking that away. Once it is disregarded, Satan can remove it. The heart that is hardened from indoctrination, the indoctrination of Satan and the world system, Satan can come and remove it. And why does he do that? And it tells it, because it's one of those henna clauses, you know, that word henna in the original that means this happens in order that this can happen. So Satan tramples the heart. Satan takes that seed away, takes the good news away, takes the truth away in order that this can happen. Verse 12. He takes it away, takes away the word from the heart so that, or in order that, they will not believe and be saved. It is never, ever God's design that someone will not believe. Ever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God would have all come to repentance. He would have no one perish, but have everyone come to repentance. But Satan, the God of this, small g, God of this world, has trampled that heart, those hearts, as many hearts as he can, because he does not want people to believe and be saved. And in fact, that word not is very emphatic. He does not want them to believe. Because of their hard heart, because of the misinformation that is there, because of Satan's tactics, they will not believe because the good news of Christ is unimportant. It's unimportant and fleeting for them. And they will not be saved. Why is that a problem with Satan? Because when people are saved, they become enemies of Satan. When they're not saved, they're Satan's followers. They don't even know they're following Satan. They don't understand that. But what was Satan's sin? I will be like the Most High God. There it is right there. I will be my own God. And yet, that hard heart where it's over and over, you have indoctrination, misindoctrination, misinformation, all of these things that are put on that heart, it pushes it down to where it cannot receive the truth of the gospel. All of those things are there. And Satan does that in order that he will take people with him. So what happens at the very end? What happens at the end of time as we know time? The lake of fire. That's where death and hell will be put in. And the lake of fire, it was never made for people. It was made for Satan and his followers. Satan desires to be worshipped. Satan desires that no one worship God in Jesus Christ. So that's his goal. His goal is to keep people from being saved. All right, look at the next one, verse 6. This is the, I didn't know how to do this one. I put the easy come, easy go heart. But I don't think that's right. This would be the problem-oriented heart. Let's go with that. Verse 6. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Now go down to 13. This is his explanation. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. So here you have, in verse 6, you have seed that falls on rocky soil. But over in the corner where they've taken the landowner has taken the rocks, he's piled them over onto the side. And as they throw the seed far and wide. Some of that seed goes over there, catches a little soil, starts growing something, but never brings any fruit from it. But there's all these problems. There's all these rocks sitting around. So what the rocks are, we'll look at in a little bit here. But in verse 6, it grew up, whatever it was, grew up something that looked looked like it should bear fruit, but it didn't. A plant started to grow and withered away. As soon as it grew up, it withered away because there was no moisture. So as the farmer, he looked at that and he said, yeah, you can't grow anything over there in those rocks. It doesn't come to maturity. It never brings about a good fruit. So the farmer understood that. The rocks don't keep the moisture in. The plant withered. And by the way, that's in the passive voice. Plant didn't do it itself. All these problems that were there. So he goes on to explain it in verse 13. It says, the rocky soil, those in the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, same thing, when they may hear, when they have the opportunity to catch this, when they have that opportunity, they receive the word with joy. Now, it's interesting because they hear it, they listen to it, they may even understand it. But the word receive here, remember when we were in Romans and we looked through Romans, there was a word lambano in the original language, which is to grasp, to take hold of, and to hold tightly. That's the word where we receive the free love of God, the free gift of salvation. We receive it. That was the word we looked at. I think it was Romans 4. It's either Romans 4 or 5. We looked at two things. The word believe or trust or faith, all the same word in the original. Word to believe in Jesus Christ, to receive that love, to grasp it, to take hold of it, to dig it into your life. This word here is not lambano. It's the word doxomai, which is in the middle voice. So what he's talking about is someone who in and of themselves says, you know what? It's a reaction to an action, literally. I'll read you this, but it sums it up this way. The verb thus expresses the reaction to action on the other side. So the action would be the seed coming. And this is a reaction to that. It's a reaction to something that looks like it will solve this rock problem I'm having in my rock garden. There's so many rocks, and this action of, hey, there's some seed, here's something that sounds really good, and it looks like it's going to help me out of this rock problem. The rocks are the difficult times of life. The rocks are the difficult things in life, the hard problems in life. So this heart is a problematic heart. It's one that says, you know what? That seed looks good. I mean, I kind of understand how God, he sent his son to die for us, to give us life. So that life must be a really good life. And I'm having all these rocks here. I got a car rock. Everybody has a car rock. I've got a house rock. I've got a relationship rock. I've got a health rock. I've got all of these rocks. And all of these rocks are problem issues that, you know what? God can solve my problems. This sounds really good. I want that. I want him to solve my problem. The problem is there's no moisture in there. There's nothing for the root to get down and grab because the focus is on my problems, not on God's love and foundation for us. And what's it say? What comes at the end of that? Verse 13. So they receive it with joy. I want you to see that. They react to that action. They react to that seed with joy. Hey, this is going to help me. This is going to solve my problems. I'm not going to have these issues anymore. And people present the gospel that way. That is the wrong way to present the truth of God. That's the wrong way to present God's love. Because sometimes God does not use, or he does not alleviate every physical problem you have. And if he has, I'd like to talk to you on how I can get that to happen too. He doesn't alleviate every physical, every hard rock in your life. He wants you to have a firm foundation in his absolute love for you so that those rocks, when they're there, aren't the focus, but that foundation of love and acceptance and truth is. So, you get down to the end of that verse 13, These have no firm root. They have no root. They believe for a while, and at the time of what? Temptation, fall away. That word temptation is trial, literally. At the time of trial, fall away. Why? Because there's no root, which is the main point. There's no true knowledge of Christ. There's no devotion to Jesus Christ. Like the curious ones that followed him because he performed miracles, because he would maybe do what their expectation was. They believed for a time when there was a good time, when it was, hey, I'm feeling good about it. This has got to help me. This has got to help me over all of these problems. But as soon as the trial hits, the tough part of life hits, it's where trust in Christ is all you have. Where trust in Christ is all you have. Where trust doesn't seem to alleviate you of the hard problems that you face. They fall away. The word fall away means forsake, turn away, cause to rebel. And the problem, as we'll see in the next couple, is that there's no fruit. There's no fruit from that. There can't be any fruit because there was never a plant able to produce fruit because it wasn't connected with the firm foundation, the moisture that it needed. So there's two different hearts here, and there's two to come, and I am not going to get that far today. You thought I was, didn't you? Wrong. I didn't think nobody else did. You didn't either, I know. All right? I'm not going to get that, but what I want you to see here is it's not the sower's fault if people don't take Christ. It's not who the sower uses to spread the seed. So when you spread the seed, spread the seed. God would have all to come to repentance. He wants none to perish. He wants all of your neighbors. He wants all of your friends. He wants all of your relatives. He wants everyone around you to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Their heart is the problem. And God can work on their heart. But if they have hardened their heart, if they've let Satan's lies create that path that is so trampled that nothing can get in, there's a problem. If they have all these rocks that they're focusing on, if all the rocks in their life are the only reason I want Christ is because I have all of these rocks, there's the problem. The heart, it comes down to a heart issue. And as we looked at it last week, people have to desire truth, to take the truth. So what is our job as Christians? I'm going to finish this next week, but what is our job as Christians? Is it to go and to say, well, you're too hard. Well, you're too rocky. Well, I can't tell you the truth because you'll never take it. No, you'll never. Is that it? No, it's to sow the seed. It's to let God use us to sow seed. And let God worry about the harvest. Let God worry about that. Let God bring about fruit in people's life. The important part, and we haven't even got there yet, is the fruit. The fruit that comes from God. But there are hearts that are hard. There are hearts that will not take the Word of God. That will not fully understand or take the Word of God. Don't get discouraged. Because one time doesn't make a whole life. You know what happens to that path? If it gets tilled and tilled and tilled and tilled and tilled over years, it gets ready for some seed. You know what happens to that place with all the rocks? Sometimes those rocks are removed. Sometimes to make that place good and tilled so that that soil will take the truth. Let God do His work. You plant the seed. You sow the seed. You let God use you in sowing the seed. Spread the word. Let Him do the work. Spread the truth about Christ. And if you have to, use your words to spread the truth. Spread the truth with your life. Let God use His gifts that He's given you to spread the truth of Jesus Christ. Continue on. Yield to Him. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, that maybe one of these hearts might describe yours as it has been for a long time. But God can use that. God can work. God has worked. He worked a miracle with my heart. He worked a miracle with every one of us that are saved. He wants you to be his child. I'd love to show you from God's word how you can receive, lambano that. Grab hold of that. If you have trusted in Christ, don't get discouraged. When you witness and people refuse it, don't get discouraged. Satan is strong, but he's not as strong as your God. Don't get discouraged. You keep leaning on your God. You keep trusting in your God and let him do his work through you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much.